Hey friends, welcome to episode 591 of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. This is a non-wrestling week for the podcast. For those who don't know, the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast concept started in December 2014. So over 11 years ago, the very first podcast dropped. It was part of a My 1-2-3 Cents wrestling brand that I had created in 2010. And it evolved with the podcast, the YouTube channel. And probably a year or so ago, I decided, because I am dipping my toes into multiple ponds, if you will, of different concept, or not concepts, but different content and different niches. And since I already had the established podcast platform, I just decided that once a month I would throw in a non-wrestling version. And it's gotten pretty good interaction and engagement with people who maybe don't listen to the wrestling podcasts. There are going to be some crossover, but by and large, people who are going to be checking out these specific episodes will not have the backstory of the podcast itself, the origins and all that. Not that I think that that is necessarily anything that is important, but just kind of a FYI for your information kind of thing that I love wrestling. I've been watching since 1982. And so it became a natural thing for me to do a podcast on it. But I've also discovered I have a lot of other interests and likes. And, you know, I've led a fairly interesting life that people seem to have questions about, want to know more about my time at the TV stations that I've worked at through the years. And that was really probably the biggest breakthrough for this non-wrestling version was I did an episode about my time at WSIL. And it got a lot of engagement. And so I decided, okay, maybe folks want to hear or check out stuff besides the wrestling world. But again, the platform is here. So I'm going to just build off of that. So I put it out there. I had an idea, a concept that I'm actually still trying to work out the details on. And I generally don't try to talk about things that aren't happened or aren't going to happen. But the concept is there. I just need to bite the bullet and execute, pull the trigger, if you will. If you are watching, you can see I'm kind of in the corner right now. My podcast studio, if you will, and this will tie into some of the questions here in a minute as well, is a work in progress, and it has been, and partly because for whatever reason, mental block, I'm not taking that next step to putting this into a format that I would love to have. So soon enough, you're not going to see me in the corner with a bunch of 80s tchotchkes behind me. And it'll be a bit more fun experience, I think. I hope at least. So I decided to, instead of doing the original idea that I had, I put it out there as a ask me anything type of podcast, and got a lot of questions and a lot of people asking, and some of them asking multiple questions. So I'm excited about that. And I appreciate and thank you if you did ask a question and you're listening or watching. Thank you for that. As you can tell, if you're watching, it is St. Patrick's Day weekend. I am wearing my Bucky's tie-dye t-shirt, and Bucky's actually is going to tie into one of the questions as well. So we'll get to that in a little bit, but I wanted to get started, and let's not wait another second here. Again, I appreciate those who did weigh in. Garrett Galloway, who is a friend of mine through Stride Pro Wrestling back in the day, when grilling out, what style burger is your favorite? Now, he makes his an Oklahoma style smash burger on the griddle, using 90/10 beef, thinly sweet white onions that are sliced, thinly sliced sweet white onions. He makes a 4-ounce ball and then sears them, flips, adds some cheese and toasted buns, mustard, and dill pickle. I honestly, and this is part of some of the ideas and things that are going on. The Hunsburger Chronicles has been going on about a year and a half now, and I love the concept, and it's really taken off better than I thought it was going to. And right now it's just going to different restaurants and trying the burgers. I have been toying the idea of doing some burger creation of my own. And I don't have all of the I don't even have a grill anymore. Our grill died and I bought a smoker instead. So when I do make burgers here at home, and I don't do it very often anymore because I do usually go out at least once a week and get a burger for the Hunsburger Chronicles. But usually when I do a burger, it's a frozen patty that I just throw on our griddle. And do it in the house, or I will put them out on the when the weather's nicer, I put them out on the smoker. Usually no wood or anything, and the kids prefer theirs unsmoked, if you will. So, but yeah, I am exploring the idea of becoming a better, I tried my hand at brewing beer and that failed. So I may try my hand a little bit at crafting some burgers. So stay tuned for that. But Garrett, your ideas sound pretty damn amazing, and I hope to implement some of these ideas in the very near future. Tina Waller from Shawnee Community College, where I work, asks, if you had an unlimited budget, what is one promotion you would embark on? Not necessarily for the college, but for anything. I'm going to answer both for the college that I work at, Shawnee Community College, and for my personal brand. And for that, it would be not necessarily a promotion, but it would be more of an investment in what I do. Equipment-wise, the studio would be more robust. I love watching some of the more well-known podcast interviews. They have a studio, they have a set, a couch, multiple cameras, and they obviously have a crew. And so again, if I had that unlimited budget, that would be what I would do. I would invest in lighting and microphones and the TV monitors and all that good stuff, and have that going on. And for the college, I always am looking for ways to promote the college. I actually exploring some new strategies and stuff with some different companies and different ideas and concepts that are going to be coming to fruition in the next fiscal year. So that is still to come. But yeah, I think investing in yourself is the most important thing. Whether you're a self-starter, your own business, your own brand, a nonprofit, investing in yourself first will make others take notice and want to invest in and be a part of what you are doing. Kind of in that same vein, Adam Porter from the Hop Brewery, which over the weekend did the Hunsburger Chronicles and a Poor Decisions from the Hop Brewery. It's in Christopher, Illinois. He was asking me when we were there about the equipment that I use. And actually, I just very recently, I had a when I go out and do the Hunsburger Chronicles or on location anywhere, I'm using just my phone as the camera. And this is the iPhone Air Max, I think is what it's called. I think it's version 16 or 17, I don't remember. It's got a great camera on it though, and I've only had it about 6 months or so, but I love my still to me new phone. And then I had a pretty decent mic set, wireless mic set. I left it somewhere. I have no idea. I did a Hunsburger Chronicles in Murfreesboro, and then when I went to get my microphone to go for the next week to do it, I couldn't find it. I checked. We drove my wife's car that day. Wasn't in there. I contacted the restaurant I did the Chronicles at. Wasn't there. I've looked in every conceivable spot here at the house. Now I know eventually I'm going to find it, I'm sure. I bought those off of TikTok shop. I also got these off of TikTok shop. And oddly enough, the name is not anywhere on the box. Oops, and there goes part of it. So I'm gonna have to find that and make sure that I don't lose it. But it comes with two mics. And the thing I really like about this, and I probably won't work because I don't have it plugged into the phone, but when you turn it on, it will tell you how much charge is left on it. So these charge, again, found these on TikTok shop and I wrote down the name and now I can't find it, but I think it's like Holizen or Holozen. Let me see if I can find it on my computer, on my phone here. But yeah, I have used them probably two or three times so far. And I love them. Hitzozen, Hitozon. Again, highly recommend. I like them a lot. I also like For the podcast itself, this is a Rodecaster mic. I have been very, very satisfied with the quality of the audio, and we use Rodecaster at the college too. I have a whole setup there with a God, mixer and soundboard and everything. For here at home, I just plug a mic into my laptop and a MacBook, and that's how I record. But yeah, those are the things that I like. But kind of talk to others, find out what they are using and doing, and see what would work best for you for your budget, and what your ultimate goal is, what your plan is for your brand, or if you're I am going to look and invest in a light for my camera too, because some of the restaurants I go to, and that's why I got the microphone, because originally I just went in and did it without a mic. And sometimes there's music playing, there's background noise, there's people clanking and clacking. And so, you're in a public space, but you can kind of minimize some of that noise by wearing a microphone. And then the same thing, some of my early ones, the restaurants that we were in, are dark, and it's now, I don't know. I've seen a lot of the little lights that you put on your phone, and I'm going to probably this week buy one, but we'll see how those work out. And again, I think if you're lit well, if it sounds good, you're going to engage and get more viewers, I think, that way too. So those are my tips and pieces of advice, which I think you'll hear from most people anyway. Brian Gordon asks, boxers or briefs? It is boxers. I will not show you, but you'll have to trust me on that. Jason Gentry wants to know, why do we park on a driveway and drive on a parkway? Why do they call them apartments when they're all close together? It's one of those things. It's those word puzzles that we deal with, I guess. But again, fun, engaging questions here today on this week's episode. Brian Wilson wants to know my top three favorite films from the 1980s. I am a child, I was born in 73 and have been, grew up in that era of three or four channels on the TV. And then, of course, cable was a big deal when I was a kid in elementary school, and getting to go to the movies, going to the drive-in. I have plenty of fond movie memories. When I think of 80s movies, though, for me, the standouts are things like Ferris Bueller's Day Off, The Breakfast Club, the Vacation franchise of movies. I love Christmas Vacation. It's probably not, it's my favorite Christmas movie, but it's also one of my all-time favorite movies. But that came out in December of 1989, so the last month of the 80s that came out. So I don't necessarily clarify or classify that as an 80s film. The Star Wars franchise, Return of the Jedi, when I was a kid. I know as I got older, I had a better appreciation for The Empire Strikes Back. But when I was a kid, Return of the Jedi, The Goonies, Gremlins, all of those movies. So if I had to narrow it down to three, like these are my three favorite movies of the 80s, I'm going with Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Breakfast Club, and The Goonies. I love all of the movies that I mentioned, but those are the three today. On March 15th, as I'm recording this, those are the three that I would more than likely resonate to naturally and be a part of. My buddy Chad, who usually is my co-host and sidekick, he's actually at a wrestling event today and was out of town for the weekend. We record via Zoom, and he was not able to record this weekend, and throughout the week was not necessarily working out. So he wants to know, if there was a March Madness of product mascots, who are four number one seeds and who's in the final two? This again comes from my buddy Chad. And for me, the first three were a no-brainer. So for those who don't know, but the NCAA tournament, they do four different brackets, and there are teams seated in each one of those 16 teams. And then the number one seed is the best in that conference or division. I don't know the exact terminology, but he wants to know. So basically, who are the best four product mascots? And so I gave this some thought, but really the first three that came to my head immediately were Ronald McDonald, Mickey Mouse, and Tony the Tiger. I'm also throwing in Colonel Sanders. To me, when you have, for a product mascot, and that's where the Bucky shirt kind of comes into play, because Bucky's is growing in popularity, and more people are seeing it and stuff. I'm surrounded by mascots right now. I'm drinking out of a Quatro's cup. This is the pizza guy from Quatro's. Eventually, one day, I'm going to turn this into something for the Hunsberger Chronicles, but this is Big Boy. If you're not watching, I apologize. And then, of course, for the My 1-2-3 Cents brand, and it's out of reach, but my jacket with the monkey, that was the whole point of the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. And when I joined on, we created a Lucha Monkey. Joe Dodd did the artwork for that. But so again, for me, a mascot for a product has to have longevity, has to have that sustainability, has to, bring back that emotion, or bring back, tie itself to the product itself. And with that being said, those are my four: Colonel Sanders, Mickey Mouse, Ronald McDonald, and Tony the Tiger. And I think of those four, when you whittle it down to a final two, and I'm talking globally as well, not just in the United States, I think your final two are Mickey Mouse and Ronald McDonald. I think they are the two most recognizable mascots in the world. I feel like they are very closely associated with the product or the brand that they are representing. And without a doubt, the champion would be Mickey Mouse. I don't think you could walk into a room and hold up a picture of Mickey Mouse and not every person in that room know, one, that he's Mickey Mouse, and two, that he is the representative of Disney. Just an amazing part of that branding and that character and what he has meant to pop culture and society in general. And Ronald McDonald is very close behind there. Colonel Sanders was around before I was born and has been here ever since. I know they've kind of tweaked him and changed him up a little bit throughout the years. And then Tony the Tiger, another staple, a mainstay from before I was born to present day. You still see Tony the Tiger on the cereal boxes. And so those are my four picks. I'm curious to know what you guys think. Who are some of the better known product mascots, the brands that they're representing, and how well do you know them? How well does the world know them? And that was the biggest thing for me, was how does the world know and see and view these as well? And my last set of questions is going to come to us with, of course, I got to hop back on here, but it's Ken Johnson, who has been a long time friend and supporter of the show. I met Ken years ago, probably close to 20 years now at this point, when I was at WSIL. He was a guest on the morning pod or on the morning podcast, on the morning show. That would have been interesting to do a morning show podcast. I think that that might have become a thing. Ken's first question: how many kids are still living under your roof, and how hard is it to let them leave the nest? So we have three kids. One of them is living in St. Louis. He graduated from SIUE Edwardsville and has a Big Boy job up in the St. Louis area. So he does not live here anymore. And in fact, his room has become my podcast studio. Now, we do have guest rooms and stuff, so when he and his girlfriend come and visit, they have a place to stay. Our other two kids are still here. They are kind of doing their own thing. They're in and out. Speaking of mascots, there's Bernie, the mascot from Shawnee Community College. Sorry, had to throw that in there. But it's different having older kids living with you than when you have younger kids, because there's not this constant, where are they? What are they doing? They're adults. They're doing their thing. They're in and out. Our son lives above the garage in our bonus room. See him sporadically. Daughter off going to school, going to work. She's in and out. So, but they all at some points had moved out and were gone. And it's not easy. Our son living in St. Louis, it's only 2 hours away. So, I can't say much about that because my wife and I left St. Louis when we were newlyweds in 1997. We left and we never returned. And so our parents had to travel to see us and visit with us. And so, we are preparing for a life of the same. And whether it's as my wife wants to get a van and kind of travel and see the world as we retire, which is happening sooner rather than later at this point in our lives. But yeah, it's not easy, but you give your kids those roots, but you also give them those wings. And when you see them succeed in life and fly, and even if they, you hope that they don't fly far from the nest, but if they do, now with technology and FaceTime and texting and calling and video chats and all those good things, you can see and still feel connected and feel close to them. What are some of your bucket list items now that you are over 39 plus? Yes, I am almost 53. Bucket list items, I pie in the sky idea of this podcast, of this brand taking off and really getting a big groundswell. I would love for that to be, that's kind of a probably more than a bucket list. That's more of a hope and a wish and a prayer and we'll see how things go, putting in the work and doing that to get there. Travel wise, we are taking a pretty big trip later this summer. We'll talk more about that in the future, but one of my travel bucket list items, two of them actually, Hawaii, never been, and Australia. Would love to visit Australia someday. So we'll see how this trip this summer goes, and it may determine if Australia is ever in the cards. But yeah, just I think traveling at this point, when you reach that age of getting closer to retirement and having those opportunities, and I was lucky to and fortunate to be able to travel a lot already, but kind of seeing the world with my family through, in my 50s versus when I was in my 30s or, in my 20s, it'll be a different experience. It'll be fun to do those things as well. So, and maybe one day take grandkids on a Disney cruise. We'll see about that. As a burger eater, what are the ultimate toppings for your dream burger? Years ago, there was a coffee shop in Carterville called Crossroads Coffee, and they did food, they did lunch, and breakfast items. But it was one of, and I'm not exaggerating when I say this, it was one of the best restaurants in Southern Illinois. I loved this place. We went, we being the morning show crew at WSRL every Friday. That's where we went for our post show. On Fridays, we would go out for breakfast or lunch. Because by 9 o'clock, after being in at work at 2, 3 in the morning, you're ready for more of a lunch type thing. And so we stumbled across Crossroads. They had opened up. They were doing at one point just doing coffee and like pastries, and then they opened it up to a wider menu. So we became regulars there. And that's where they created the Huns Burger. And it was a limited time thing, but it had on it my favorite things from the restaurant, which were was chili and their waffle fries, and they had jalapenos on there and pepper jack cheese. And so when I think of my favorite toppings on a burger, bacon is always welcome. Bacon jam, I love bacon jam as well, a good bacon jam. Probably some grilled onions. And I know, like, going to a restaurant, this never hap will happen, but my mom's homemade zucchini relish, which I have probably about a tablespoon left. She passed away about 2.5 years ago. I still have a little bit of that left, and I've got the recipe. And with the spring and the new farmers markets and stuff, I'll be getting zucchini and replicating that. That is one of my, when I grill at home or make burgers at home, I always put that relish on there. I add it to my chili. So that's always my one kind of go-to for homemade burgers. But in the restaurant, I if I'm picking cheese, I prefer pepper jack. I don't mind peanut butter on a burger. It's pretty good. It's really good, actually. In fact, as of this recording in mid-March, Alvis Backroad Bar and Grill in Tamaro, Illinois, is my favorite spot in 2026 for a burger for the Hunsburger Chronicles. It was a really good burger, and it was the peanut butter bacon burger that they have. And so that was something to definitely check out. I like the more unique toppings, pickles, lettuce, onions, ketchup, mustard, mayonnaise. Those are all standard toppings. But I do like trying the burgers. I had the burger a couple weeks ago with alligator on it. I want to try things that are outside the norm, outside the box, and just kind of play around and experiment with those. So, how much do I pay Chad to be the co-host? That would be $0. Ken says it's the reason that they all listen. Well, that is awesome to hear. And this is, like I said, this has been more of a passion project and not a money making venture. So if I ain't getting paid, he ain't getting paid. So, and he gets that, and we're having a lot of fun doing this, though. Ken's final question: with all the podcasts you listen to, like me, who seems like the best guest? Someone you would search for on other podcasts? He enjoys Jelly Roll interviews, listening about his journey through life from the bottom to the top and being humble. Here's going to be something that might surprise people. I do not like podcasts with guests on them necessarily. So, for example, there is a former, he was a TV host in Canada and he's now in the United States, but his name is Chris Van Vliet. He has a show called Insight. He's interviewed celebrities, but it's primarily wrestling interviews. And I don't sit and listen to an entire podcast with the guest, but I will take those bite-sized pieces off of TikTok or Facebook Reels and watch those, 2, 3 minute segments. The podcasts that I do listen to are mostly wrestling podcasts, but they are podcasts with a host and a co-host and the banter between them. When they have guests on, it's okay. I don't hate it, but primarily when I listen to a podcast, I just want my two regulars kind of bantering back and forth. Like I'm in the room with them, but not really. And there's not anyone that's on for an interview or anything like that. That's not to say, on this podcast, the wrestling podcast, I've had several guests on here. Rob Van Dam, probably the most notable one, from WWE, ECW Hall of Fame, legendary wrestler. And I'm trying to get legendary wrestler Rey Mysterio on for episode 619, 619. That's his finishing move, the 619. So yeah, I say that like I don't seek out podcasts that have guests. Now if there's an interesting person in wrestling that's on a podcast, I might seek them out and listen to that. But with wrestling, a lot of those who are guests on podcasts, I've heard their story. I've heard, they're not going to necessarily tell you. That's what I like about Van Vliet's interviews, is he kind of peels back more of the onion and gets into some of the things that you don't necessarily hear on other shows. So I do appreciate that aspect of it. But again, I don't seek out those kinds of podcasts, even though I'm kind of trying to be. And that is part of the reason why there was a period in for the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast where I was scheduling a different guest every week. And it was usually an indie wrestler or Chad or my friend Tyler, who was also an indie wrestler, or just different folks that I knew along the way. And I am actually looking at that as part of this non-wrestling show rebrand of bringing in different guests, if you will. Because I do think there's a place for it, obviously. I think I'm probably the exception to the rule when it comes to listening to those. And again, I don't hate them. I don't not listen, but I don't seek out podcasts where there is a regular guest component to it. So again, I'd rather just hear the host being the host and being together, and because sometimes it does change when they bring in a guest, it changes the demeanor, the feel of the show. So that's my thoughts on that. And that's my thoughts for this week's podcast. Again, I thank everyone who participated. I thank everyone who was listening and or watching. Have a great week. Happy St. Patrick's Day, and we will see you next time.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.